to the first in a series of ETF talks, conversations that put social first. Today, we are dedicating the conversation to the COVID-19 pandemic, its effects on the world of transport, and most importantly, on the future of transport. We will be discussing what the future of transport could look like and what it will look like if workers are not an integral part of the recovery. To talk about these topics, I'm joined today by Livia Spera, ETF General Secretary, and Frank Morales, ETF President. And to begin, one of the main observations of the ETF and transport unions around Europe since the beginning of the crisis has been that COVID-19 has laid bare the cracks in the foundation of transport. What does that mean? And what are some of the underlying issues in transport that were exposed, Livia?
Yes, hello everybody. This indeed has been our mantra since the beginning of the crisis. And if I have to be very concrete, I can pick up a few examples on what the COVID-19 crisis has shown about transport. If we look at seafarers, we estimated now after almost 6 months in the crisis, we have at least 400 seafarers that are still blocked on their ships. This is showing the limits of the flags of convenience system, where flag states do not take responsibility for the ships that are registered under the registers, and which we, together with the ITF, have been announcing now for decades. Or if we look at truck drivers, when member states or countries decided to unilaterally close their borders, truck drivers were basically abandoned at the border, queuing for hours. They were even denied basic rights, even though we know that their daily life in normal times is not easy. But during the crisis, they were basically denied the access to toilets, to shower. They were not allowed in logistics centers. They were really treated as third class citizens. We can look at about atypical contracts, which are spreading in transport, where workers who are considered as bogus self-employed or that have short-term contract or any kind of atypical contract couldn't stop working because they had to earn a living and they are not entitled to any kind of social security or very poor social security. Or if we talk about aviation, we know how fragile the aviation sector is. We know that the current way the section is organized is not appropriate. And we saw that it took a few weeks of a crisis to completely bust the sector. Here in Belgium, we had one handler that went bust after a few weeks. We know that the situation in ground handling is very precarious. So these are all issues that we have been denouncing for decades and that now are really coming back in a very clear manner.
Yeah, well, I could say that during this crisis, it became very obvious that there is a big contradiction between the fact that transport workers are considered as doing an essential job and in the same time they don't get the respect that they should get. Imagine one moment that our dock workers would have stopped working during this crisis. Or imagine that bus drivers would not have been driving, or the truckers would have stopped working. Well, the deliveries would not have been done to the shops. Essential goods would not have arrived. So it would be a societal problem if our transport workers would have stopped working. So they are essential for our society. And in the same time, they did not get the respect they should have got during this crisis. For example, a lot of employers did not take responsibility for the health of their workers. They did not give individual protection tools to their workers. They did not develop prevention plans. So we really could see that there is a big contradiction between how essential the transport workers are and in the same time how they don't get the respect that they should get from society, from their employers and from the political world. There is a lot of work to do on that scale.
Frank, you highlight this contradiction. Transport workers are essential, yet nothing was being done to protect them. and they had already been facing poor working conditions, and these were made even worse by the crisis. What were trade unions doing to protect transport workers?
Well, it's clear that a lot of our affiliates were very, very active during the crisis. Without their unions, transport workers would have had really a very rough time. They already had, but without the intervention of their unions, it would have been worse. I know that a lot of our affiliates had really to intervene towards the employers' word to kick them to take responsibility, to really take into account the health of their workers. And if unions would not have been there, it would have been a massacre in the transport work world. It is already, there are already a lot of problems with health, with prevention, and also a lot of people lost their jobs due to this crisis. But if we, the unions, would not have been there, it would have been more dramatic even for the workers we represent. And I can tell you that a lot of our people, trade unionists, they continued working during this crisis. They were there for the workers. They gave the services that transport workers needed. They did the interventions towards the employers that were appropriate. So we were in the front line as unions in the battle against this pandemic, and in the battle against the social disaster that this pandemic would have created. And it is a hard time, it is very rough, but without the unions and the responsibility that our affiliates have taken, it would have been a lot worse.
Livia, Frank highlights all the work that unions did to protect transport workers, and the ETF combined trade unions' demands, and they brought their voice to the European institutions. One of the points that you both make is that these problems were already very present, but COVID-19 really exposed them and gave us concrete evidence of how these problems affect transport workers every day. In your opinion, was it easier to bring our demands and to make ourselves heard within the European institutions during the crisis?
Well, it was, COVID-19 gave us a lot of material, so it was for us relatively easier, or easier than in normal days, to show what the serious problems are in for transport workers. The hostile climate towards trade union, however, remains. So we felt it during the crisis, and we still feel that trade unions are not as listened to as they should be. The situation was so serious. What we did during the peaks of the crisis, what you're still doing now, is acting on several fronts. So if on the one hand we try to influence the political discussions and the initiatives that are taken by member states and by the European Commission. For instance, when they issue guidelines on health and safety protocols, we try to influence them. We are present in all the fora where things are being discussed, but we also concretely assisted our affiliates. For instance, when it came to repatriation of seafarers, when it came to give solidarity, when it came to assist them with problems in consultation and information and consultation rights at transnational level, when it came to create networks of people working for the same companies, we were really acting on the whole front. And Frank mentioned the importance that trade unions played, that our members played at workplace level, and I think this has shown also why it is important for trade unions to be active internationally and to engage internationally, because we could have a voice that we would have not had if we were divided and if we were acting all on our own.
Speaking of acting internationally, now the exit from COVID-19 coincides with the phase of designing a new transport policy. Given everything that you've spoken of now, what are the ETF's key priorities in designing this transport policy?
Well, I think now, at the moment, there are, and for the next years, I think there will be essentially three priorities that need to be combined. One is the recovery strategy from the crisis and the total new world that will come out of it. which means for transport also a lot of changes, because if we are going to keep working online and many business trips will be cancelled, for instance, what does this mean in terms of rail connection, and also in terms of in terms of flights, and in terms of all transport modes that were used, for instance, by business people. This is just one angle of reflection. The second priority is what was already on the table: digitalization and automation. Transport work is changing constantly, and we feel that policies are somehow lacking behind, and that the involvement of workers and their trade unions is not sufficient yet. And then the third pillar for the future will be, of course, to deal with the climate emergency, because we know what the discussions are around transport. Our point of view there is that we can't have serious discussions on the future environmental sustainability of transport without talking about the social dimension, because we know also that if you want to have modal shifts from more polluting to less polluting modes, it will not happen if the price of certain transport modes remains so low due to artificially low labor costs, for instance. But I think that price in general would be the big priority for us. Transport price is too low in passengers and in freight. This is the consequence of decades of policies that pushed for competition, liberalization, privatization. It's brought no big advantage for the sector. It brought no big advantage for the workers. In freight transport, as I mentioned, we need to work on a modal shift. It was on the agenda for many years, and the reason why it didn't happen is, as I said, the low labor costs that are affecting some of our transport sectors. And on the other hand, if we look at passengers, the logics of low cost has completely changed passenger transport, not just in aviation, but also in bus and coaches and in railway. These three sectors are strictly connected, and there needs to be a discussion that goes beyond the individual sector, and that is aimed at fighting back these logics of low cost. We will never reach social environmental sustainability as long as we can fly to the other side of Europe for €9.99. And this is something that we always fought and that we will keep fighting here in Brussels, but also in all the countries where we are present.
Yeah, and if I may, one of the challenges we have to deal with also as ETF and as ITF, we have to continue to be the network organizing unions on the global and European level. Let me give two examples. Livia talked about the seafarers that are blocked all over the world during this COVID crisis. We also can mention the truck drivers that are blocked at border controls. These are problems that you cannot solve as a local union or as a national union. You really need to be part of a global network or an international network. And it will be the role of ETF and ITF to continue doing so, because staying in contact with one another, making this network work, that will give us more force also to do something for our workers very concretely. And that's also one of the roles that ETF and ITF will have to take on their shoulders.
Frank, you highlight the importance of trade union involvement. For you, why must trade unions be involved in the recovery process? And what are the dangers if they're not involved?
But you could say it very simply, eh? It will be about money first, or it will be about the workers first. If we are not involved in the whole processes, it will be an economic operation. It will be about open borders, free circulation, it will be about making money, it will be about liberalization, it will be about deregulation, and it will not be about the workers and the workers' rights. That's the reason why we have to be involved. If we are not, it will be worse for the workers. We will have to be there to be the voice of the workers, saying that Europe can only work and can only be a good project that is supported by the European citizens if social emphasizes are given in the whole processes. And then I think about the wages, minimum wage discussion, for example, about collective bargaining on European and on national level, about working conditions for people, about the rights of workers. And if we are not there, if we are not involved, nobody will be the voice of the workers. Nobody will take care of what the workers need in this whole processes. So if we are not involved, it could be dramatic for the workers, because every crisis is a challenge. And if this challenge is not taken, being concerned also for the people who has to make this economic reality work, and if the social emphasis is not there, it could be a disaster for the workers. But they should not worry about it. If we are not involved, we'll make sure that we will be involved, and we will fight ourselves in, because we consider it as our role to represent the voice of the workers, and we will not accept that this whole situation could be taken as something that is purely economic and purely business. So if we are not involved as such, we will make sure that we are involved, and we will step in even if they don't invite us.
On that very important note, today happens to be the World Day for Decent Work. As the voices of transport workers in Europe, if you could send one message to them, what would it be?
Well, I think that trade unions are trade unions, and working class is working class. Even if many things have changed over the decades, there's only one way that trade union can follow to achieve things, and it's through political and industrial struggle. So if I could say one thing to the workers that we represent is, join a union if you are not part of a union, and if you are part of a union, be active, shape the policies, be a pain in your union, make a lot of noise, and engage, because this crisis showed that the unions could make the difference wherever there was something to change or to negotiate or to fight for. There was a huge difference on how the crisis impacted workplaces that are unionized with workplaces that are not unionized. So that's my message.
Yeah, decent work is not something that comes by itself. You have to do something for it. It does not come as such or as a miracle. So if you want to have decent work for the transport workers, yeah, we will have to go for it. As I said earlier, trade unions and transport workers, they never got something by gently asking. We always had to fight for our rights. We always had to bargain if it was possible, and to organize action if it was a necessity. And it will be the same thing with decent work. It will not fall out of heaven. It will be something that we create by ourselves. It will be something that we take responsibility for also.
On that note, happy World Day for Decent Work, everyone, and thank you for joining us in our first ETF Talks. There will be more to come, so I invite you all to follow us on social media to find out when.